This is my last installment of how to live godly in a wicked world. Okay? This is number 6, longest series I've ever preached. But I see a connection between every one of these 6 messages. As I just said, our veterans took a vow to protect and to promote and to continue all of the things that are so precious about the American system, the American form of government and way of life. But really, most of those things we've taken for granted, and now they seem to be threatened. Okay? Maybe a lot of things we took for granted, structures and traditions and mores of our culture, our collective understanding, our Judeo-Christian ethic that we have at times taken for granted in this nation. All of these things are being shaken in this current day. But I want to remind you of something, and it's already been said and said well through music as well as what Cheryl led us in prayer about. And it's this. My hope is not in the government of the United States of America. My hope is in Jesus. My hope has always been in Jesus, and it's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. In Christ the solid rock I stand. No, all other ground is sinking sand. And I just want you to know that my hope did not go up and down with the election. Nor is it going up and down with what's going on right now concerning the election. It's time that we nail it down in all of our hearts. Jesus is our hope. Period. Doesn't mean we don't pray about our government. Doesn't mean we don't pray about election issues. Doesn't mean we don't vote. Doesn't mean any of that. But where our hope is determines our sense of security and our progress into our future. I want to read a scripture to you today. It's in Hebrews 12. I had started to teach through Hebrews 12 on Wednesday nights, and I started to round it up with these last few verses of that chapter this past Wednesday night, but I really felt like the Lord wanted me to save these last 5 or 6 verses until this morning, because I really feel like God wanted me to share with you what's in these verses. I really believe that we all need to hear what's in these verses. So let's read it. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. I'm about God. Let me just stop and give you a little context. If you read the several verses before, the writer of Hebrews is comparing the experience at Mount Sinai with the experience of New Testament believers. And he basically says they came to a mountain and they heard the voice of God in a physical way. They saw the smoke, and it was a terrifying experience to the point that even Moses was terrified. But then he begins to compare that experience with the nearness of God to what Jesus has accomplished for us to come near to God. And he's basically saying, listen, you didn't come to a mountain that was smoking and lightning was going everywhere and darkness and this incredibly painful sound of the voice of God that brought dread and fear and even despair to your hearts because you knew you had no hope of ever measuring up to that God that was manifesting himself on Sinai. But you've come. And it goes through the next several verses and lists 6 things that the New Testament believer has the assurance of. And after he lists those benefits for the New Testament believer bought by the blood of Jesus, he says this: see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. He's talking about God to us. If they, meaning the people in the Old Testament, did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. Say, can be shaken. That is, created things so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Father, we need so much more than a sermon today. We need to hear your voice. Lord, we need to respond to your voice that will assure us today that we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Lord, I pray, even as you spoke many times, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that will receive and respond to your word and your voice today. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and let us get a new glimpse of your very nature. You are a consuming fire, and it's a good thing. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If we will respond to the voice of God today about everything He's spoken through Christ that you can read in previous verses in this chapter, that He bought with His blood applied, then we can start Thanksgiving early. Did you notice what it had said? It said that, so be thankful and worship God with reverence and awe. We can be thankful because we have a King that never changes and is a consuming fire, meaning everything eventually has to respond to the powerful nature, presence, will, and goodness of God. At some point, it must cave in and respond. Paul said it this way, there's going to come a day that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. But we can start Thanksgiving early because we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's bought and preserved for us by a God who is a consuming fire, strong enough to burn up all evil and strong enough to maintain this kingdom forever. For those that will trust Him and respond to His Word. Three things. First is, He will speak. He has spoken. He is speaking. He will speak because God is a communicating God. That's what this is all about. He has spoken. Has He not? He is speaking, and He will yet speak. And the admonition of these few verses is this. You better make sure you respond when He speaks. You see, in the Greek, the word to hear, there's two words for hear, and one of them implies listening and with an intent to do what you hear. And then there's just this, there's sound waves hitting my eardrums. That's one kind of hearing. But the kind of hearing that God calls us to is the kind that is implied here when He says, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. You say, I would never refuse God if He spoke to me. Have you ever ignored something in this book? Have you ever augmented something in this book because it was easier to do it your way than it was his way? I think we'd all have to say yes at some point. Have we not? But in these days, in these last days, and I do believe we're barreling towards the culmination of human history. You say, well, when's Jesus coming back? I don't know, but I heard he was coming back about 60 years ago. And what that tells me is we're 60 years closer than we were. That's what it tells me. And so he is still speaking, and he will take this word, and he will take these words coming out of my mouth today, and he will make them live and burn inside your heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We must not dare hear but not listen. We dare not hear the word of God with no firm and determined intention to obey and respond according to his word. I mean, you heard these first few verses were a warning to us. If those people that saw the smoke on Mount Sinai and they saw the glow on Moses' face when he came down, if those people turned away and they received judgment because they would not listen, how much more us who have been given the marvelous mystery of the ages revealed in the sacrifice, the sinless life, the miracles, the sacrificial death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. How much more are we liable for the truth that has been entrusted to us? It's an awesome thing for God to speak to your heart. You might say, I would never refuse to listen. I'm begging to hear God. Let me just put it in a simple phrase. A failure to respond is the same as refusing to listen. A failure to respond is the back door to a hard heart. A failure to respond is taking the word of God lightly, and it's taking his fiery presence lightly. We dare not do that in these days. To respond means to say no to noise and manipulation of everything around us, whether it's the media, it's our friends, it's the culture. To say yes to his voice sometimes requires saying no to the noise. Sometimes we will never hear his voice really grip our hearts if we have determined, if not determined, we're going to filter some of the stuff we're listening to. Because everybody's got an opinion, right? And all of you have your favorite saying about that, but I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, boy, you knew what I was talking about. I didn't even have to say it. But are we people who say this is the final arbiter of what I should allow to dominate my thought processes that end up affecting my emotions and will eventually end up affecting my behavior? Is this the final arbiter? Well, I understand the Holy Spirit has to take these words off pages and make them churn inside of us. But I promise you, he's ready to do that if you and I are ready to respond. Don't expect a clear word from God if your heart is not already determined to respond. I don't believe God wastes words. Have you set your heart to hear him? Like you have determined to tune into your favorite devices. You know, I had something weird happen to me the other day. I drove down to Aniana to have lunch with a pastor. And I realized after an hour and a half of awesome conversation, I didn't have my phone. It was really kind of nice. But I can promise you, as soon as he walked out the door, I was back to my truck. I know I called him from my truck. And when I started looking at my truck, I couldn't find my phone. And can I be honest? I got a little stressed. I got a little uptight. I got just a little bit worried. I'm thinking, surely they didn't steal my phone out of my truck right here in the parking lot in Snead, Alabama. And man, I could just feel my temperature rising. I could feel like, oh no, man, all of my contacts and blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, yeah. And it was just like, rrr. I finally found my phone in the floorboard laying face down. My floorboard's black and my phone's black. And it was face down up against the foot where you put your feet on the rider's side. You know what this tells me? I'm pretty tuned into my phone. Some of you are tuned into your tablet. Some of you are tuned into your laptop. Some of you are tuned into your phone too. Are we that tuned in to hearing the voice of God? Do we take as much effort and care to make sure that God's voice can make it through all of the noise? Because our lives are noisy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Our lives are noisy. That we are surrounded. Used to, you had to go home to hear some of this noise. Now, it's in your pocket. Unless you leave it in your car during lunch. To respond means sometimes saying no to the noise, the manipulation, all of those things. And it also can mean, it must mean, to set our heart to hear, as I said, for the purpose of doing. With such amazing perks that Jesus bought for us, we must respond when He speaks. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Did we miss something? Have you ever noticed this? It's not the man who hears the word of God that is the one who builds his house on solid foundation. It's the one who hears the word and does the word. That man's house is built on the solid rock. That man's house, that man's life, that man's foundation is unshakable. So it's a Jesus thing. Determine you're going to hear His voice for the purpose of doing what He says. I believe that's as important right now in our lives as it's ever been for any believer. None of us know what's coming down the road. We know what we're praying about and what we're claiming, what we're proclaiming and all that. But you know what? The more cloudy and confused things get around us, the more clear, the more clearly we need to hear the voice and the heart and the will of God. Amen. More and more and more specifically. And I'm going to promise you this, the only way to do that, the only way to grow in clarity is to respond to the word you already know. Amen. And when we respond to the word we know and He's already said to us, I believe His voice will become more clear and more precise for every circumstance in our life. Second point, not only will He speak and we need to respond, but He will shake. So cling to the kingdom that cannot be shaken. I'm not a prophet. I don't presume to know everything God's doing in the earth, why He's doing it, how long it'll last, or where it will end up. But here's what I do know. God is at least, whether you say He's causing it or allowing it, He's shaking some stuff up. He's shaking some stuff up. When I was a student in Bible college, I came home for Christmas break, and my family was living in a little house where I had to share a room with my little brother. I was not happy about that. He's 12 years younger than me. At the time, that was quite a gap. Now it's not that big a gap because I'm 61, he's 49, 50. But then it was a big gap. So I remember I was laying in bed one night and I had this crazy dream. It was so real. I was in a bus and it was moving. And I just knew I had to get off this bus. And I started pulling at the window and the handle came off. I started pulling at the frame came off. I went to the door, tried to open it, and the pieces just started coming off the door, but I couldn't get it open. And everything I grabbed to fix my situation came off in my hand, and I didn't get out of the bus. And I woke up. My curtain was pulled off the wall. My brother had some kind of little toy building. It was an earthquake kind of thing, like the Empire State Building. You hit a little deal and it shook. It was tore all to pieces. Everything I grabbed hold of crumbled in my hand. And I'm going to tell you, some of God's people have clung to the wrong things in these days, and it's coming off in their hand, and they're no better for it. And I'm telling you, if we're going to cling to something, we better cling to the thing that never changes. We better cling to the promise of the one that never lies. We better cling to a kingdom that is eternal. Do I want a good economy? Yes, I do. Do I want persecution? No, I don't. Do I want any of the possible things that can lie ahead in America's future? You know what? What I have to do is cling to the one thing that He says in His Word, and that is we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken by its very nature. It is based on the permanence and the everlasting character of an almighty God. And it can't be shaken. Governments come and governments go. Dictators rise and dictators fall. Systems are developed and systems fall apart. But what my hope is built on is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Because it's established by a king that is King of all kings. And we say those words, and sometimes I just don't know if we really believe it. And I'm telling you, just take your pulse this week and ask yourself, do I really believe it? Do I really believe it? We have a reason to be thankful in the middle of chaos. Because we are receiving something that cannot be shaken by anything ever. There's two promises here, but one of them is this. What can be shaken? Will be shaken. Listen, if it's not established by the will and the work of God, it will not survive eternity. I don't care how good we think it is. Regardless of how comfortable it makes us or whatever, what a benefit it's been, if it's not based on God's will and God's way and God's work, there will come a day it will be burned up with a fervent heat. Even the creation is going to be burned with fire and a new heaven and earth will come. Listen, there's a lot of things I like about living in America. There's a lot of things I like about living on earth. But I'm going to tell you something. Only what's based on His will, His way, and His work will last forever. What can be shaken will be shaken. Everything temporal, fleshly, man-created, or man-sustained, or man-glorifying will fall apart. Let me just say that again. Everything that is man created, man sustained, or man glorifying will be undone. It's like the old Midas commercial. Anybody remember? You can call me now, or you can call me later, but you're going to end up calling me. Right? Well, God's saying, it's going to fall apart now. It's going to be shaken to pieces now. It's going to be shaken to pieces later. But anything that man created for man's glory will fail. That's the bad news, or I guess. And the reason is so that which cannot be shaken may be shown to be the glorious, perfect work of God before every nation, tongue, and tribe one day. Everything else will be shaken down. There'll be something standing in the middle of the rubble. And it's God's kingdom and God's way and God's will and God's glory. The third thing is this. Not only will He speak, not only will He shake, but He will shine and refine. Amen. He will shine in this world and He will refine. So embrace the fire. Embrace the fire of His presence. Our God is a consuming fire. What does it mean? What does it mean? I want the worship team to go ahead and come up. I'm about done. I know you can't believe it, but I am. Come on, worship team. We're going to end with a worship song. I really liked what I felt last week as we ended with that song. We're not singing the same song this week, but another good song. But I believe we need to leave this building every Sunday for a while worshiping. Worshiping. He will shine and He will refine. What does it mean that God is a consuming fire? Does it mean that He is just mindlessly destructive? No. I know the fires in California and out west, they have destroyed so much. And sometimes when we think of fire, we think of something uncontrolled and unspecified and something that's just mindlessly destructive. That's not what it's saying about God here. It's saying something about God's nature that I alluded to earlier, and it's this, that in the presence of God, everything else has to line up. Because He will not change. He cannot change. That means everyone who encounters Him closely must change and will change. If we cling to His presence, it's one or the other. There's no big battle here. If we keep drawing near to God so that He'll draw near to us, when He draws near to us, it means change. It means purification. It means when I draw near to God, my thoughts will eventually become more like His thoughts. It means my will eventually be conformed to His will. If I just keep drawing close and clinging to the consuming fire, I will be changed. Not for my destruction, but for my everlasting glory. He shines life. It's kind of like the sun. I'm sure all of you have seen some scientific documentary about the sun. And you know that we're just the perfect distance from the sun, that we don't freeze or fry. And you also know that there'll be no life on earth without the power that the sun's rays give the earth and the plants that we so depend on. The sun is a life giver. I'm talking about the sun, the ball, the fireball in the sky. It's a life giver. This is one thing I believe it means when it says God is a consuming fire. He is a life giver. The energy that radiates from His being, the energy is our life. He's a consuming fire. He radiates life and power and hope just like that ball in the sky. He's all-consuming. He's so good and glorious and beautiful and powerful that we're consumed with desire and delight when we draw near to Him. Listen, only a God so extreme in love, only a God so extreme in love and authority and power can secure an unshakable kingdom for us. Let me tell you something. If you can manage your God, you're worshiping an idol. Please hear me. If you can put Jesus on a shelf and walk away, I doubt whether you've really had the revelation that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. He refines all that He embraces. And He embraces us. His presence demands compliance with His pure, holy nature and refines us. The only other option is to be removed from His presence. There's a quote I want to read. I read it in a commentary this week, and I don't usually read things that are this compelling to me. Go to the next slide. There you go. This commentator, this biblical scholar said something like this. I don't know the first words, but I quoted what he said. His holy love purifies what it cannot destroy and destroys what it cannot purify. The nearness of God, the psalmist said, is our good. The nearness of God. And the nearness of God for the people at Sinai was horrifying because they knew they were sinners in the hands of a consuming fire. But we have a different view. As I said earlier, Jesus gave us access. But as God's people, we need to understand something today. The same awesome power that will preserve a kingdom for us forever is the same power that wants to share His holiness and wholeness with us. And that only comes when we draw near and embrace and He burns. About years ago, I was in a hunting cabin with John Loper. Some of you don't know who he is. He's a pastor that's retired now. But I was in his hunting cabin, and he had one of these butane heaters, you know, where you put this thing on top of the tank, and it, you know, and we were all putting on multi-layers of clothes to go out about 4 o'clock in the morning, climb up in trees and look for Bambi. And I had me a brand new pair of jeans, but I had 2 layers on under them because I didn't have any of those fancy hunting clothes. I had to just keep putting on layers. I had enough layers on that when I backed up to the heater to warm my rear end up, I didn't feel the heat immediately. I smelled my new jeans burning. I'm going to tell you something. You say you want to be close to God. You say you want to enjoy everything there is about God that He has for you to enjoy. I'm telling you, the closer you get to Him, something's going to burn. Something's going to burn. And it will be exterior stuff. Maybe it will be interior stuff. And it may be painful, but I'm telling you, it will be worth whatever it takes for us to draw near to Him and let Him burn what He cannot purify and let Him purify what He does not want to destroy. Amen. The closer I get to Him, the more I'll change. Because that kind of change is always good for me and it always glorifies Him. You know what I need more than anything in these uncertain, chaotic days? I need the nearness of Jesus. I need to be full of His Spirit, which includes His fire. And that fire purifies, but it also assures and it glorifies and it empowers And it gives direction. He gives direction. The fire is a person, and it's the Holy Spirit. You want to walk through these uncertain days with courage and with confidence, with peace and with hope? Draw near to the consuming fire. Draw near to the consuming fire. Because you know what will happen at some point for all of us? Things will be burned up in us, attitudes, perspectives that we were so sure. Some of those things will be burned up. And what will we be left with? The things that can't be shaken. The things that can't be burned up by His holiness. The things that will strengthen our souls and give us clear hearing of His voice and a heart that says with Jesus, it was quoted about Jesus in the volume of the book, it's written about me. I delight to do Your will, O God. That's what the nearness of God will do to all of our hearts. It'll burn the wax out of our spiritual ears. It'll burn the baggage that we carry with us. It will burn the regrets and the resentments of the past. It will burn up arrogance and pride and independence. It will burn up those things that drag us down and get us enmeshed in all the chaos so that the storm that is outside is on the inside. What does the fire do? It burns up the storm on the inside so that what's left is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what Paul said. The kingdom. This is the words of Paul. I think it's Romans 14. Check it out. The kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what He wants for us in these chaotic days. But it comes when we embrace the fire. It comes when we draw close. It comes when we draw close and we don't cling to things that will fade away and crumble in our hands. We cling to Him and Him alone. And He does what needs to be done within us so that the storm is pushed out and the peace comes in. I'm going to tell you this. I'm assuming all of you did your civic duty. You voted. And I challenge you to pray. Patty was just telling me that the president is challenging people to pray at 7 o'clock tonight for truth and righteousness to prevail. I've been praying that anyway. That sign on our, that banner on our sign out there, it's not by accident. But I can tell you, what this country really needs, more than it needs any certain person to be elected, or more than it needs the election process to be vindicated. I'll tell you what it needs. It needs people like you and me that have drawn near to a consuming fire and the storm is on the outside and peace and joy and power of the Holy Ghost are on the inside and we become lights in a dark place. We become the voice of calm in a sea of chaos. That's what this nation needs. Will you be one of those people? I want you to stand with me. If that's your desire, I want to be one of those people. I want you to stand with me today. And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask these guys to sing. And I ask you, don't leave. It's 11:36. I pray you've got a few minutes to worship together. Because you need to leave here focused on the beauty and the goodness of God. Father, just lift your hands up. Let's lift our hands. Sign of surrender. Sign of reaching. What you have is what we need. Who you are is what we want to dominate the interior of our soul today. Lord God, forgive us for letting the storm get on the inside. Forgive us, Father, for clinging to things that will be shaken. Forgive us, Father, for pursuing things that must fail eventually. Forgive us, Father, for putting our hope in anything but Your steadfast love, Your extreme and total authority, oh God, and Your goodness. You are our foundation. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to say to many of us, He wants to point out maybe things in our lives that really we were really basing our hope on, but He wants you to transfer your hope to the thing that cannot be shaken today. Father, whatever that might be in my heart and in these hearts, may we let go of that and cling to You. Because You are our hope. You are the one thing that cannot be shaken. You and Your kingdom. Father, may You enable Your people in this day to exhibit peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. May we desire what You are and what You offer so much that we will train our ears to hear. And we will set our heart to respond. And we will draw near to You, the consuming fire. And we will let You burn up things, God, that weigh us down. And give doorways to the devil. And give doorways to the storm to enter into our soul. May we cling to You as You burn, as You refine, as You empower, as You encourage, as You bring hope, Lord. God, may we embrace You with all that we are in these days. Now, if you're watching online, if you're standing here this morning and you've not trusted Jesus with your eternity, I'm telling you, you just take yourself and put your whole life in His care and control and say, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. You're it, and I believe You. I believe You died for my sin. I believe You rose for my victory. I believe You want to forgive me and live inside me and give me eternal life in this kingdom. It can't be shaken. I want it. Ask Him for it. He's ready to respond. And if that's you here today, feel free to come down here and stand with me and I'll pray with a prayer with you. But it's a heart issue more than it is a mouth issue. If you're online, fill out that response card in the comment bar. We want to know so we can pray for you and help you.